Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Welcome, and you are listening to New Retirement Radio. It is the day after Christmas, December 26, 2019, and as promised, we are in the studio doing a recording. So you are listening to a pre-recorded show. I'm Shea Pataja, and I am playing the role of Ron Jolly today. So, and in my studio is Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout and Financial Planner Heidi Thompson. So, welcome you two. This is fun.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about the SECURE Act, which we had a class at the end of the summer at Cambria Suites that we filled up both classes. It was a huge hit. The information was awesome. And Ed Slott was gung-ho, 100%. This will go through in 2020, and you need to plan accordingly. And this week, it seems that
We're moving closer.
So why are we talking about this today?
Well, the reason is it's a huge sea change in retirement accounts for both holders of larger IRA accounts and for those who want to make continuing contributions. And there's some other significant rule changes within what's called the SECURE Act. And we're trying to get the information out to our clients and friends who listen on the radio. You know, what is going on with this? Our clients and listening friends, we want them to know as much as possible how this is working and what the new rules most likely will be. This is most likely going to happen for 2020.
Right. So some people will be affected more than others by these rule changes. It's sort of like you've been strategizing and putting those assets in different kinds of investments and different kinds of accounts and taking withdrawals, thinking about what's going to happen in the future. But now those future rules are changing a little bit, so the chessboard is reset. So we have to, it's worth a conversation with your financial advisor to say, hey, these rules, these changes, how is that going to affect me? And what sort of changes do we need to make with my personal portfolio so that I can either take advantage of the new rules or protect myself from some unintended consequences of these rules?
And it's not just protecting yourself. In many cases, it may be protecting your spouse and or your children, given the new rules, a significant change, sea change there.
Correct. Yep.
And unfortunately, as we've mentioned before, right, the old days of retirement planning, a savings account, your pension, and Social Security, it was pretty simple. People had those three things to worry about. And now it's way more complicated than that. And not only do people who are planning for themselves now have a lot to think about, explaining it to their children is the next level. And so, like you said, with the SECURE Act, it does mostly affect those who will be inheriting or taking care of mom and dad's accounts. So let's go ahead and start. I see number one. Here are the key retirement changes.
Right. So number one, eliminates the age limit for making traditional IRA contributions. So the old law says IRA contributions could not be made for the year an IRA owner turned age 70 and a half. So once you turn 70 and a half, you could no longer make contributions to a traditional IRA. Now, Roth IRAs, they don't have those age restrictions.
They never did.
Right. So it doesn't affect that. But the new law, the SECURE Act, eliminates the age limit.
for traditional IRA contributions. That simply means if you have earned income, if you're over age 70 and a half, previous law said that if you were the year in which you turned 70 and a half, you could not make a regular or traditional IRA contribution and deduct it from tax.
Correct.
Well, now that rule, law has just gone by the wayside with the signing, assuming again that the Secure Act is enacted this year, which most likely it will be again for 2020. That simply means if you have earned income and you're over age 70, you could theoretically possibly do a traditional IRA contribution and still deduct it. It means more planning opportunities for those who are over age 70 and a half.
Is another reason that they're doing this is because people are working longer? Do you think that's influencing part of this?
That's a great question.
It is a good question. It could be. There could be some other motivators in there as well. Maybe they demand, or as you said, people are working longer and they want people to save more and not be caught without enough savings to help last throughout their retirement, to give them more years to put that money away.
I would say part of that is they're trying to level the playing field and simplify the law somewhat, because the Roths were never that limited. So they just said, why don't we just include the traditional IRA in that non-limitation so you can make contributions anytime. Theoretically, you're 95 years old. You have earned income. You could still put money in a traditional IRA and deduct it under the new law.
Well, that seems like a good change.
It is a good change. You bet.
And
it's positive.
Another thing that's great is that for the spouses of people who are still working, that age limit goes away as well, so they can still do their spousal IRA. So a worker and their spouse could continue to put money away.
As long as there's enough earned income between the two of them. So let's say she is the breadwinner at age 75, he's 72. Theoretically, then they could put in $7,000 a piece, $14,000 to their respective IRAs, one spousal IRA and one traditional regular IRA.
And only one of them has to be working.
Correct.
Well, that seems like a good change.
That is a good change.
It's pretty exciting for people who like to save.
Exactly. And deduct it as well from their tax.
All right, what's number two?
So number two is this new legislation will increase the RMD age to 72. The current law, RMDs begin for the year the participants and the IRA owners turn 70 and a half. But the new law says that they're going to raise that age to 72 for all retirement accounts subject to RMDs. Now, Roth IRAs don't have RMDs associated with them, so that will not be affected. But it's a nice thing when you get rid of a 70 and a half number to a 72 number. Right there, things are less complicated right off the bat.
Ron Jolly's going to be the most excited about this because he hates that 70 and a half number.
It's just so dumb. Honestly, to speak real frankly about it, as Heidi started talking about this, sitting back in my chair, this is worth celebrating because it simplifies the age. So many clients say that, look at me and go, okay, what is the age I have to start taking withdrawals? Don't I have to, what is it, 69 and a half? And there's so much confusion about this. Now it's 72. 72, I think I can remember that number. It's 72. It's an even age, and they've thrown out the half year. All the complexity related to trying to figure as well the divisor, how much does someone actually, what is the percentage that an individual needs to withdraw in that year that they turn 70 and a half? So that gets away, that gets puts that aside, the complexity of that whole 70 and a half thing.
Right.
It's a huge improvement.
Dennis and I study with Ed Slott in the Master Elite program, and there's a whole section dedicated to figuring out which divisor do you use if you turn 70 and a half the first part of the year versus the second half of the year, and on and on and on. Just a whole minefield of mistakes that you can make with that, just with that age number.
And that is set aside now. So
this
is really a sensible change. Thank goodness, eh?
Good riddance to the 70 and a half, I
that's
say.
Right.
Amazing, a sensible change.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, number three.
Okay. Number three allows penalty-free withdrawals for birth or adoption. So the old law, no 10% early distribution penalty exception for birth or adoption. But the new law states that 10% penalty exemption for birth or adoption, but the distribution is still subject to tax. It's limited to a $5,000 lifetime, not per year distribution. It applies to all contributory retirement plans, but not defined benefit plans. The exception applies to any distribution from the retirement account within 1 year from the date of birth or legal adoption. This applies only to children under 18 or physically or mentally disabled and incapable of self-support. So this goes towards those exceptions when you want to take money and you're not 59 and a half yet. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, you want to take a withdrawal and there happens to be a way to get money out without having to pay an extra 10% penalty for a birth. You have a child and you need a little extra help. Theoretically, it could come out of a retirement account then without having to pay that penalty.
Oh, I see. I was a little lost there. Okay.
Yeah, the birth. We had a child. So, or adopted, mm-hmm. but legally adopted. Mm-hmm. And within 1 year, let's say you adopt, 15 children. And, that year you can take out up to $5,000. From your accounts without having to pay the penalty.
Well, that's good, though. That incentivizes those who are considering adoption because it's not cheap.
Right.
It's not cheap.
It can be helpful.
That can be holding a lot of people back from that decision.
Could be. That's another good improvement to the law. Yes.
So far, this is all positive, which I feel good about.
And just you wait.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. Wah, wah.
Yeah, exactly.
Number four.
Number four allows taxable non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments to be treated as compensation to qualify for an IRA or Roth IRA contribution. So the old law says that fellowship and stipend payments received by graduate students do not count as compensation for an IRA contribution. But the new law says the SECURE Act allows taxable non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments for graduate or postdoctoral study to count as compensation for contributing to a traditional or Roth IRA. So, Dennis, if you were like in school and you're getting your master's and you receive a fellowship and you're receiving that as income,
mm-hmm.
now
in essence, it's compensation.
Right. Yeah. So now you can make a contribution. You can start your retirement planning that much early.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah. I was thinking, honestly, as I was reading that, the chances of that may be relatively slim. It just widens the ability for those who do have different types of income to make a deductible contribution or non-deductible depending on their needs and get some money into their retirement accounts when they're perhaps just getting started. So that's another nice addition, I think.
Yeah, and that those early saving dollars are so important because they have the longest time to grow, especially Roth contributions.
Yeah, we just sat with a client yesterday. And this particular client had put some money in, not even $1,500, to an annuity account many, many years ago, over 20 years. It was surprising to note that it was worth over $11,000 today.
Wow.
So those early dollars, mm-hmm. that's the first thing that came to my mind. Often, and I'm part of it, we discount the value of long-term monies invested over time. It's not something that's going to excite you and get you all,
Twitter-pated, as they say.
Twitter-pated, exactly. Mm-hmm. But the value of long-term compounding is amazing to watch in real life, and it's always nice when it happens. But you make a great point, Heidi. Even small amounts invested over a period of time, it's not going to, you're not going to brag to your brothers and sisters perhaps about it, but it's something that makes a huge difference over time. Do not discount that.
That's
even
right.
Some amounts make a big difference invested for the long term.
I find this a little bit depressing because when I graduated high school, 1998, so I'm giving away some numbers here, but that's when the Roth IRA started. And so I'm looking at the money I made at my graduation party. And had I known about the Roth IRA just because of how I'm wired, I for sure would have started one. You know, but who's thinking about that when you're graduating high school? You're just thinking, oh, I need this $2,000 to make it through the summer to have some fun, or then to get me started in my freshman year to buy books. You know, you're thinking of those things. But in hindsight, you know.
Right. But, you know, that's a great point, too, because offering this allows people to start that discipline of saving earlier.
Yep.
Maybe it'll push some people to start saving.
It's almost a part of your brain that needs to be expanded. I think that's true for all of us. You know, what does that feel like to continue to put money aside and to see those account statements as it continues to grow? It's something that all of us need to learn because of the responsibility that we each have for our own retirements. Can't be understated.
Cannot. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue the list of the new law versus the old law and how that will impact you and your family members. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You are listening to New Retirement Radio. My name is Shay Pataja, and I am playing the part of host today because we are doing a pre-record. It's the day after Christmas, and we hope you had a great time with your family. And for those of you who are celebrating today and tuning in, you get extra credit points.
That's right.
I don't know what that means. Chocolate from our office. We'll figure it out. But you're ahead of the rest. We'll just say that. Of course, I have with me Dennis Prout, certified financial planner, and Heidi Thompson, who is a financial planner as well. And they are going back and forth today talking about the new SECURE Act, which will more than likely happen in 2020. And we're going new law, old law, what's the difference, and how does it affect you? So far, we've been through 1 through 4, and we're starting back with 5, which is provides employer liability protection for annuities and plans. What does that mean?
You're right, Shay. It's really sort of confusing. So if you guys stick with me as I read the description of the old law and new law, then we'll try to make it a little bit more clear in the discussion. So the old law, plans have been allowed to offer income annuities to their participants, but often did not do this because they're worried about liability if the guaranteed payments were not received or for other problems related to the annuity itself. Now, the new law, the SECURE Act, provides a safe harbor for employer liability protection for offering annuities. Any problems that employees have will be taken up with the insurance company that offers those annuities. The employer is required to do its due diligence as a fiduciary when selecting the insurance company and the annuity option that they might want to offer in that plan. The employer is not required to select the lowest cost contract. So what does this mean, Dennis? It's sort of complicated, but...
Well, it simply opens up the plan universe, if you will, to offer... lifetime income annuities through their 401k plans. Whether this is a good idea or not, I don't know. What I wrote down here is this is probably most likely going to be a good old-fashioned dogfight. Probably not what you were thinking I might say. I love reading All Creatures Great and Small by James Herriot. And he referenced, he visited a farm and... all of a sudden, a bunch of farmers came in to see this activity. There was some kind of an animal or something they were trying to help with, and they all brought their dogs along with them. The dogs got into it. You know, they're protecting their territory, if you will.
Yes.
And that territorial issue came out in the terms of this dogfight, and he referenced that as a good old-fashioned one where they just had a really hard time pulling them apart. And this is exactly what that makes me think of. This is probably going to be a good old-fashioned dogfight between those representatives who might be more positive about it and those who really don't like annuities at all. And the dogfight that you've seen online will probably morph into possibly the workplace through these different plans offering different types of annuities. I would say... that's much more a personal, in-depth decision that employees would want to make, possibly on their own. I'm uncomfortable with the fact of these annuities possibly being offered through qualified plans. We'll see what's offered. According to some insurance companies, they see this as an opportunity to offer great income-type guarantee products into the future for interested employees. We'll see what's offered. We don't know. Frankly, I've been known to be wrong. I'll just say this. I had no idea that the SECURE Act would be attached, as we're talking about right now, to the Budget Act. It didn't even occur to me. And someone had mentioned it to me a week ago, and I thought, well, that's an interesting concept. Well, there it is. It's attached to the current budget proposal offered through the House. And because it's attached, it'll most likely pass both the Senate as well as be signed into law by President Trump. So there you have it. We could be wrong. I'm just saying we'll have to wait and see whether or not this is a positive. We'll see what private industry does with this thing. Okay?
All right. And then that leads us to number six, which you said is a big one.
Yes. Yeah, this is the one that might affect a lot more people out there. This is the one that's going to take some careful consideration and maybe some adjustments to what you already have in place. Some things need to be gone through. It's a good reason to go in and talk to your financial advisor to find out if this rule is going to affect what you want to happen with your money or what's going to happen. So eliminates the stretch IRA. The old law, the stretch IRA, was available for all designated beneficiaries, individuals that are named on the IRA or plan beneficiary forms and qualifying trust. So these are the people when you fill out your forms for your 401k plan or your IRA that you're listing as beneficiaries. So what's going to happen when they inherit the money? The stretch IRA under the new law is replaced with a 10-year payout for all beneficiaries. So except for the five eligible designated beneficiaries, the money that is in the IRA when it is inherited will have to be all distributed within a 10-year period. So the larger the IRA, the more impact that's going to have on their beneficiary, on their income tax situation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, a lot of the controls have just gone by the wayside in terms of trust planning. We'll get into that, but think about this. A child, in essence, inheriting an IRA from a parent, theoretically, let's say it's someone near Shay's age, would have to take about 2% per year based on a beneficiary IRA designation. This is in case both mom and dad have passed away. This is a non-spouse beneficiary IRA. Theoretically, Shay, again, would need to take about 2% of the balance each year under the stretch IRA rules. Well, that 2% just goes to 10% under this. Now, they don't have to take this distribution each year, but the account has to be emptied after the end of 10 years, which it's an incredible change. So in this particular instance, under previous law, Shay would have been able to keep this account and increase slowly her distributions from it and used it, in essence, possibly for retirement income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this is the case, that's out the door. She has to pay all the tax on it over a 10-year period, and especially for larger IRA accounts generally over $500,000, this is a huge impact.
That's what I was just going to clarify. So someone who's listening that's around my age is going, well, what's the big deal? I guess I just get more money faster. Well, the big deal is that it could change your tax bracket. You can't save that for hopefully your retirement down the road. It limits your options. It condenses things, I guess, is a good way to say it. And for huge accounts, like you said, anything 500,000, a million or more, mm-hmm. having to take that in 10 years could make a drastic change for you.
We're seeing more and more of those types of accounts. within our own practice, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, you know, 5 million and more in these retirement accounts. And this is where the distributions, that dramatic change is significant increase in tax by those who follow.
And it's not only just your income. You've got to think of other things. Maybe you're in some program or you're going to college and you all of a sudden have all this income. That mm-hmm. could affect scholarships. It could affect any kind of government program or income-based program that you are a part of or that you use. So this is going to mean planning is going to be a lot more important now, not only for the IRA owner, but for the beneficiary as well.
I was just talking to a relative, I'll just say that, who's a client, a couple of days ago, and we were talking about the increased value of the Roth conversion. There are no income limits on Roth conversion, Shay. So think about this. You have a regular IRA. You make $200,000 in that year. Well, you couldn't add money or put new money into a Roth under the current rules because you're over the income limits. But under the conversion limits, there are no income limitations. That just makes this conversion from a regular IRA to a Roth, because in essence, you can draw tax-free income, but you can also then say the children receive tax-free income, okay?
So this doesn't affect a Roth IRA?
It does.
The
payout limitations or the payout requirements apply to Roth, but because that income is tax-free,
it won't have those other ramifications of a higher tax bill or your qualification for some program that is income determined.
So
money won't be as – you'll have to take it out of that tax-deferred status, meaning you're not paying anything on the current dividends or interest. But it will – because it comes to you, it won't affect your tax, but you're turning it from a non-taxable state to an annually taxable state for those Roth monies coming out to the beneficiary.
Yeah, the Roth distributions that come out are non-taxable forever, okay, both for you and your children, okay?
So this basically says to me, if you own these accounts, pay attention so that you don't leave your children with a tax burden. You leave them with a plan. And there are some, it says here that there are people who are exempt from this.
That's right.
Who is exempt from this?
Okay, so I'll read off the exemptions, the beneficiaries that are exempt from this 10-year rule, and then we can talk about each one. The first one, surviving spouse. Second is minor children, but not grandchildren up to their majority. Three, disabled individuals. Four, the chronically ill. And the fifth one is a beneficiary not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner or plan employee.
Now, number five, it theoretically could be a sibling. And
right.
The you have named as a beneficiary on your IRA would not have to comply with those. So it's something you want to speak with your brother about, Shay, in terms of you being a beneficiary on his IRA. Okay.
Yeah, I will. Thanks for the reminder. All right, we're going to go into the details of each one of these, but I want to take a little bit of a break so that those of you listening can go grab your notebooks if you haven't already, all right? Because I know
right.
you need to. Or a cup of coffee, because this is a lot of information that we're trying to share with you. And in a pre-record, you know, we don't have the distractions of all of our chit-chat. So you're going to school today, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back. My name is Shay Pataja, and you are listening to New Retirement Radio. Today, I'm interviewing Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson about the new SECURE Act and what will more than likely happen in 2020 and how it affects you, your children, your grandchildren. There's a lot of implications to this. So welcome back. Let's talk.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Before we get started, as you were talking, Shay, I was just thinking how valuable having been associated with Ed Slott has been. He's provided us all this information, all this download info, and he's the one that predicted that this was going to be passing. and it was a strong recommendation I've seen. So we are definitely profiting from this, and so are you who are listening to this. I'm excited to be able to provide it.
Right, and Heidi and Dennis are the only master elite advisors up north here, so they have worked pretty hard to get that designation and keep up with all the education requirements, going to his seminars. He has webinars every week, so you guys are totally tapped into the Ed Slott feed. Not only that, you have a direct line to call him when you have questions, and what I love about our office is that if someone calls in and they have a question, if we don't have an immediate answer, we can find it. We have the resources at our fingertips. So kudos to you guys, because it's a lot of work to stay up with that education and be a part of his group.
That's right, Jay. And he even makes us take tests on the information that we learn so that he knows we know it. So.
And Heidi always aces them. So I would like to go ahead and throw that out. Dennis?
She does.
Yeah. You were the valedictorian, correct?
Oh, let's not go into that.
Yeah. She was.
Of course.
She was. Yeah. So anyways, going back to this,
right. Though,
there are people who are exempt from having to, from the 10-year post-death payout rule.
That means that, you know, you don't have to have all that money out of that IRA that you inherit within the 10 years. That is the stretch IRA where you can leave the money in for longer than that 10-year period. So the first one is the surviving spouse. Now, the spouses, Dennis, already have special rules that don't follow the rules for everybody else. But this can make a big difference and be peace of mind to an individual that their spouse isn't going to, if they inherit a large IRA, they were not going to have to take all that money out within 10 years.
There are all kinds of rules to think about in case, let's say, she's 75 and he, at his death, was 65. So, you know, we're going to twist this a little bit to what the norm is. In this particular case, she inheriting his IRA could leave it in his name and not have to take those distributions until he theoretically would have been 72. So there's a distribution option there. And then at that point, she can transfer it to her own IRA and take distributions based on her age at the time. She doesn't have to advance it under the new 10-year rule as the surviving spouse. So there are two major caveats to that, or options for those who inherit it as IRAs as a spouse.
That's right. So the second one, minor children. So minor children up to majority. So,
But
not grandchildren, correct. So minor children, the age of majority, something to keep in mind about that. You want to check with whatever state you live in, because the rules change a little bit state by state, and the age, usually between 18 and 21, is the age of majority. 18 is in most states, but you do want to check to make sure you know what the age of majority is in your state.
Means it's up to the age of majority, except if that child is still in school up to age 26. So that gives them some options there too, and especially in qualifying for a government assistance,
right,
for those who are attending school. So this is a nice window, if you will, for those who are inheriting these accounts who are younger.
That's
and
right.
Still going to school.
So it helps protect those
it
people
sure does.
In college.
You bet.
Great. So the third class of people who are exempt are disabled individuals. So this is something that is in the IRS code. What is the term disabled? And it's sort of hard to qualify for, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very difficult to qualify. It's a standard qualification for those who are going to get Social Security benefits, in essence, from the disability rules. An individual shall be considered to be disabled if he or she, I'll just put this on there, is unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity. That's pretty tough to qualify for. So most likely, I'll just say for most, it's not going to be a qualification they'll be able to make.
Right. And in bold lettering, they say you must be able to prove it.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Fourth, the chronically ill. So under the Secure Act, a chronically ill individual is based on the definition under that tax code, under the tax rules for defining long-term care services under long-term care insurance policies.
Yeah, that's substantially chronically ill, which means two activities of daily living cannot be done for at least 90 days. That's a typical qualification for a long-term care qualification. So chronically ill, two activities of daily living, bathing, eating, those sorts of things that we don't generally think about. The two out of the six qualifications have to pass for that. Okay?
All right. And then that final category is that the beneficiary is not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner. So like Dennis was talking about, that could be a sibling. That sibling, if they inherited and they're within 10 years of age, they could still have the stretch, correct?
Correct. And if the beneficiary dies before 2020, they're still allowed to take the stretch. So anyone who's passed right before the end of this year, the stretch IRA still exists for all those beneficiaries who are non-spouses, not married to that individual. Keep this in mind. This will only apply for those under the current resolution, will only have to comply once 2020, January 1st of 2020 happens, all right, or occurs.
All right, so looking at the amount that's in the IRA is also going to be a big consideration, because the bigger the IRA, the bigger the impact will be on those beneficiaries. So, Dennis, what would you say are like medium size, large, and extra, extra large? Which how big of an impact is that going to be on those sizes?
Now, this is a general course, but generally medium accounts are $500,000. It depends on how young the owner is. Let's say someone 65 who fully intends to live to age 95, given history, their own health, all those other sorts of things. If that's the case, these accounts could indeed grow to $2 million. So someone with a $500,000 IRA might not necessarily now, that might necessarily now have near the impact. But if it continues to grow and invested properly and all the rest, that could change. This stretch IRA really makes a change. The Secure Act really change. The change occurs on any accounts, usually $500,000 to $1 million, and then especially accounts over $1 million, because the distributions on a $1 million account, if there's only one non-spouse beneficiary, let's just say it's $1.5 million, those distributions in effect for a non-spouse beneficiary are going to have to be about $150,000 a year. Obviously, that's going to change their tax bracket. They may be paying tax in the range of 25 to 35% tax on those distributions when they inherit. And this brings us into some other points, too, that we'll talk about here.
Well, thank you so much. It's a lot of great information. It's a lot to process. And obviously, if you have a financial advisor, you need to be talking to them about this. If you don't have a financial advisor, that's what we're here for. When we come back, I want to talk about the very large IRAs, because they will have the most pressure and urgency to start planning now. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to New Retirement Radio. I'm Shay Pataja, and in the studio today, I have with me, of course, Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson, and we're talking about the Secure Act. We've thrown out a lot of new information, but I want to focus our last segment here on the very large IRA portfolios, because they have the most pressure and sense of urgency to start planning and do something about it right now. So go ahead, Dennis, take off with that.
Yeah, the reason that's the case is many of these large IRA accounts are left to trusts. Under the old law, when an IRA was left to a trust and the trust qualified as a see-through trust, the inherited IRA funds could be stretched over the oldest trust beneficiary's lifetime, leaving the lion's share of the inherited IRA funds protected in the trust, possibly for decades. Given that this law change, this same 10-year payout requirement is in effect. So instead of paying these accounts out over a 25 to 30-year period again, in your case, Shay, if you had been left a trust through an IRA and you had inherited it at age 45, you could have distributed this over a 30 to 35-year period. Again, moving that back to 10 years, that's the first part of the problem.
But
10
there's
years.
Another problem, yes. That's even bigger.
Hit that problem, Heidi.
That problem is trust tax rates. because you have to bring this money out of a tax-deferred state into
the IRA, in essence.
Yep, into the trust, and it's going to count as income to the trust. The top trust tax rates start at only $12,950. So
of income within the trust.
But all those distributions from the IRA are income.
Yes.
So
if it's a regular IRA, and the tax rate there is 37%. So the income is really quite low to hit those top trust tax rates, and the rate is very high. So frankly, in these kinds of accounts, the children could wind up getting hammered because the parents, by all means, were planning based on what they knew to be true in 2019 and in 2020. Talk about the sea change. This is where it's really gotten much more expensive to pass these qualified retirement accounts on to children and to try to spread those payments out or control those payments, in essence, spendthrift clauses within those trusts to keep them from spending too much. All of a sudden, they're going to wind up spending it anyway because the tax laws have changed, and they're going to have to get it distributed through the trust.
So maybe you don't want that IRA to go to the trust. Maybe you want that to go to, like, your four children so you could spread that tax bill. One, you could take it at individual rates versus the tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you'd be able to spread it over more people than that one entity.
Or you may want it to decide to pass at least a portion of the IRA to a charity and pass the life insurance to the children, which is totally tax-free. Now, which would you rather have, Shay? Would you rather have tax-free money or tax-infested money?
You know, I'm not really good at numbers, but I'm going to go with option A, the tax-free.
Tax-free.
See, that's the right answer.
Bing, ding, 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 ding. What do I win?
You scored 100 on that test. It's incredible. So given that change alone, this is going to make a significant difference for long-term IRA planning. And Heidi made a great point at the break. She said, well, what about these smaller accounts if they are really drawing these funds down? Obviously, that's a part of it too. If you are only taking the required minimum distributions, there generally will be space for those accounts to continue to grow. Really depends on your income needs from these retirement accounts. You may well be surprised at what's still in these accounts when you're 75, 80, 85 years old. Part of that is a planning opportunity as well. Given this change, this is a huge tax increase. Make no mistake about it. It is a huge tax increase. But what do we do in light of that? We're going to have to make some significant changes. It's going to mean changes most likely to the trust options that you're taking with these in these retirement accounts, as well as beneficiaries, as Heidi mentioned, and thinking more thoroughly, if you will, about what assets you really want to pass on to the children, in which you're going to say, oh my gosh, given that tax increase, we need to do this differently. So in concert with your financial advisor, your accountant, and your attorney, really have to consider much more thoroughly the playing field. The complexity, it's only increased. Surprise.
So you want to consult with that professional team to make sure that you're making the best choices on those beneficiary forms,
really
how the trust is written, what funds are going to fund the trust in the future, and maybe make the changes so that you can make the situation a little bit better than the way you have it right now, because this is a lot of impact on tax strategy.
It really is. And it reminds me of the article when we wrote in the Grand Traverse Business Journal here a couple of months back about the whisper that we heard at these Ed Slott conferences. I didn't really want to hear the conversation. It's so negative. It's like, okay, I get it, but I don't want to consider it right now. It's not really in force. And what was so negative? The fact that the stretch IRA was most likely going to go by the wayside. Well, that conversation was correct. It's difficult. It's a big change. But your ability to pivot and make these changes is going to be key, because many of us are surprised. what these accounts can grow to and what this means for those that follow. Big changes afoot.
So I think it's worth going over those planning solutions because we
bet.
Sort of scattered them out throughout our conversation.
Yes.
So maybe we should just read through them one more time.
Hit it, Heidi.
So we have reevaluating your beneficiaries. You want to take a look at all your accounts and see who is your beneficiary on each of those accounts and how does that look in light of this new information. Second, tax bracket management. Maybe you could talk about this, Dennis.
Maximize today's low tax brackets. They have never been this low. No one wants to pay more tax. Most accountants are not comfortable with you paying more tax. But strongly consider the conversion, the Roth conversion, and maximizing your own brackets in terms of income tax. Because the lowest bracket today is zero. The next one is 12%. Those are historically incredibly low.
Right. And that brings us to our next one, Roth conversions. Like Dennis was explaining earlier, by moving your money from an IRA and maybe converting it over time to a Roth IRA, you could reduce those future taxes for the beneficiaries.
Huge. The Roth IRA money goes tax-free to you, your spouse, if that's applicable, and your children as well. Totally tax-free. Nice. Those are nice options for them.
What are the last two here?
The last two are life insurance and charitable trusts. So those are also different ways to try to move money without taxes or give money to charitable institutions and avoid paying tax on that IRA money at all.
The wealthiest individuals in the United States, Warren Buffett, Mr.
Gates.
Yes, thank
Mr.
you.
Gates.
Bill Gates, thank you. all take huge advantage of charitable rules and law. Consider taking more of this advantage or more advantage of this yourself as well in the coming years.
Well, we threw a lot of information at
a
you
lot.
Today. This yeah. is great to have on the radio. Thank you guys so much for going
this.
Through this and so. Combing through the basics. This really is the basics for it. We are going to reach out again to the community, and I have a class this winter, so stay tuned for the dates on that. You'll want to come to this, especially if you have a large IRA and are trying to think of the options. The other thing I want to remind you is that you can meet with us.
That's
right. Heidi or Dennis. Your first meeting at Proud is complimentary. We will give you an hour of their time to go through everything that you're trying to figure out and map out. Don't forget that they are Master Elite Advisors with Ed Slott and Associates. If you want to know who Ed Slott is, simply go to www.irahelp.com and you can check them out there. You can follow us on Facebook, and I would encourage you to sign up for our email blast. So every week I write an email blast about the radio show. When you go to our website, proutfinancialdesign.com, a box pops up and it says know before the show, and I link articles like this one about the Secure Act right in those email blasts so you can have the information right away. So that being said, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Be safe. Enjoy your
Merry
family. And
yes.
Next week I have on the air a pre-record with Tim Cartwright. Tim is Heidi's brother. He's in Naples, Florida. And we are going to talk about whether or not you want to sell your business in 2020, how to do that, if you should do that, and what the proper steps are. So fresh show for you next week as well. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Shay.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.